Good evening. During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggles against sin, death, and the power of the devil. He has called us to holy living by removing all that prevents us from trusting in Him and from loving one another. Since it is our intention to receive God's word faithfully and to receive the Lord's Supper this evening as on the night when He instituted it, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by examining ourselves as St. Paul urges us to do. As we examine our lives, we do so knowing that God offers special comfort to those who are troubled by sin and who turn to Him for mercy. He richly forgives those who confess their sins, who fear His wrath, and who hunger and thirst for righteousness. When we reflect upon our hearts and consciences, we find within us sin and death. There is nothing in us that hasn't been defiled or corrupted by our sinful nature, and therefore we are unable to save ourselves. But our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, He became man, so that He might fulfill for us the entire will and law of God. In order to deliver us, Jesus took upon Himself our sin and the punishment that we deserve. In order that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in faith and holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ grants us grace through various means. He has washed us in the waters of baptism. He comes to us now in His word, and He comes in His body and blood in the Lord's Supper to declare over you His grace and His forgiveness. Tonight we reflect on the loving kindness and serving nature of Christ, for He is a servant of all. He washes the feet of sinners, He was delivered up for our offenses, and He was raised for our justification. Tonight we offer Him our most heartfelt thanks. We take up our cross and follow Him. And according to His commandment, we love one another as He loves us. May the Almighty and Merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, number 644.
Thank you.
Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will go to the altar of God, for He is my exceeding joy. Our hope is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Beloved in the Lord, Christ has had mercy on you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, on the night of your betrayal, you showed your disciples your servant heart. As you washed their feet, you so commanded them to love one another. Grant that we may so follow in your example and trust in your mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. The Old Testament reading for this evening comes from Therefore, say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my just decrees. You shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has been bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now also I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. It's been well said that God is a God of love. And that truth, though, is nowhere more attested to than in the final moments of Jesus' life. As we read from John's Gospel a moment ago, we see Jesus celebrating the Passover with his disciples. But it's from this point on that we see how God's love can truly withstand every strain. His love can bear everything that could ever be hoisted or thrown upon it. For his love is divine, and his love is omnipotent. It doesn't crack under the weight of suffering, and neither does it even bend due to love's self-sacrificial demands. Rather, God's love stays true. Under every burden, his love doesn't flex, it doesn't break nor change. Instead, like the rest of his being, his love is omnipotent. It is all-powerful. You may put all of love's demands upon him, and yet his love shall carry them all. Pile all of love's high and lofty requirements upon him, and he shall hold them up perfectly and completely. He shall uphold love's selfless demands, unhindered and unflinching. Though the law of love demands selfless sacrifice, Jesus fulfilled that to the end. And so tonight we begin that two-day journey, seeing how Jesus loved the world. We see how he loved his disciples with an omnipotent love. And we will see how he loved the world to his death. As we look at the final moments of Jesus' life, it becomes clear that he never focused upon himself. But instead, he was always looking outwards, always towards his beloved friends and towards those in need. Even when death stood knocking at his door, Christ was still inventing ways by which he could care for his friends. He continued seeking for ways by which he could love and teach them. Death is knocking at his door, and Jesus knows that within hours his death shall fall upon him. He knows that a bloody sweat is looming that will soon stain his flesh. The Lord knows that the very same one who will betray him is sitting with him at the table. For seeing his slanderous oppressors, the scourges, the crucifixion, and the wrath of God, for seeing everything, he yet focuses on them, and he loves them to the end. His bands of love don't break, but rather he is again seeking and inventing wonderful ways by which he can love his disciples and further teach them about love. And so do we come to tonight's story. We come to Jesus' final message, and we do so with an unusual interest. For this is the last teaching that he wanted to leave his disciples before he breathed his last. He forgets all about his needs, himself, and all of the pending pain. He forgot all about the grief and death that laid before him. And instead, he spent all of his time, strength, and energy upon comforting, strengthening, and instructing his followers. He begins simply by tying a towel around his waist. Though the very angels long to clothe him with king's garments, Christ rather disrobed himself for servitude. As if rolling up his sleeves to wash dishes, he takes off his outer garments to wash feet. Though he has all things grasped within his sovereign hands, Jesus yet took up a towel with which he would take a slave's position. The Lord, the King, the Master and God, the Almighty and Everlasting, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it is he who washes feet. The heavens are his and the earth also. All are but grasshoppers in his sight, and yet he washes feet. the one who treads upon waters and makes the depths solid beneath him, the one who commands death, bidding Lazarus to come forth from the tomb, the one known by fevers and diseases as they fled at Christ's command. Winds were hushed, devils were made subject, and he's the one whom angels ministered to. This same one, though, washes feet. Myriads of angels sing aloud before the throne, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, the whole earth is full of your glory." And yet again, the very same one has stooped to wash feet. There's so much beauty to be found in this foot washing, and there's so much wonder in it that this evening we really don't have the time to expound upon all of it together. But suffice it to say for now that this foot washing is but a type and a picture of what Jesus is always doing. For still today, Jesus continues to, in a sense, wash people's feet. Because as he suggests in verse 10, this foot washing is a spiritual wash. In baptism, our whole bodies are washed. From the head down to our feet, from our whole bodies, we are washed from sin's stain. We are cleaned, redeemed, and absolved entirely from the sins that convict us. And yet, in our daily walks of life, our feet continue to get dirty. Every day do we stumble from the straight and narrow path. Every day do we step into the mire and muck of sin. And every day does Jesus then wash the dust from our feet. It is a great act of love when Christ once and for all absolves sinners and brings them into the family of God. But what long suffering and patience and love it is when the Savior bears even further with our daily follies. He deals abundantly with the shortcomings of those who have received abundant mercy. You've been washed and redeemed fully in baptism, and yet still daily do we need to be continually washed. Not our hands, head, and all of me, as Peter suggested, but it's the foot that daily gets re-dirtied as we travel down our walk of life. It's marvelous to see the love of God and drying up the flood of sin upon newly redeemed saints. But it's divine love all the same that he should further bear with the constant drippings of our daily sin. It's sovereign and all-powerful love that can blot out the whole of sin like a thick cloud. But to remove the morning mist and the evening dampness every single day, that is divine love all the same. But see how Jesus condescends to the washing of physical feet to make such a point. He stoops down to the lowest part of a man, and there he begins waiting upon them. A little soil on their feet. And yet the Lord Jesus attends to even that. This wasn't a leprosy or some crippling ailment that plagued them. You and I may look at it as just a bit of dust from the road. It was just a touch of dirt upon their feet. And yet the Lord stoops down to wash it clean. It wasn't any touch of physical healing, but it was just the washing away of a small defilement upon their feet. And here we see then the Lord attending to the smallest of tasks. We may think of our problems as small thorns in the flesh, and we may treat them as they were too trifling a thing to bring to God. Yet he should attend to the matter. And herein we see the sacrificial, omnipotent love of God, for nothing is beneath him. If Christ should bear love's demands so perfectly and evidently, then along with the apostle, we ought to be persuaded that neither life nor death, nor things present nor things to come, shall ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For he attends to the smallest of details, and daily does he do this loving work to cleanse and to forgive. And for the rest of our time together, though, I want to focus more just briefly upon our planned theme of the day, which is how the blood of Christ brings us together. For it's in verses 34 and 35 that Jesus says, "A new command I give to you, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also must love one another. By this everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's an interesting and yet very important question to ask, though. How or why is this labeled a new commandment? In what way is this commandment new? For we may well remember the time when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" And by Jesus' prompting, in fact, he summarized the law, saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." How then is this commandment here spoken by Jesus then new? And upon further examination, though, I think we would be led to confess that there are, in fact, many ways by which this commandment is new. There are many ways by which we may distinguish this commandment from any of the other 10 that were given from Mount Sinai. And right off the bat, the first stark difference is found in the extent of the love shown. The law of Moses, we're told to love our neighbors as ourself. But from the lips of Jesus, we're told to love our brothers and sisters in the faith as Christ has loved us. Needless to be said, the extent of the law then goes much farther. For to love our fellow Christian as Christ has loved us is a love far more encompassing. For Christ loved us even better than he loved himself. He loved us to the extent of denying himself, again, derobing himself, filling the position of a servant. He loved us so much that he gave himself for us. His last hour of freedom, he spends loving, teaching, and serving his brothers. Jesus laid down his life in everything that he did, and finally laying it down in death in order to love his disciples. Love one another. Love your fellow brothers and sisters in the faith as I have loved you. This is a new commandment in another sense as well, for it springs from a new reason. The old commandment flowed from this declaration saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the house of slavery." The Israelites obeyed God because he had worked out their redemption, saving them from the hand of Pharaoh. But now is the Christian today commanded to love, for we have been redeemed from a far greater bondage. We've been redeemed from the bondage of sin, death, and the devil. We've been redeemed from the forces of evil, and so Christ says, love one another. Love one another from a new nature that is springing from within you. It's often said that the ties of blood unite all of humanity together. And though that is increasingly fleeting, that is nothing compared to the ties that unite us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Over the world, there is a tie of blood between all people for which we should love them. But in Christ, there's the tie of grace that is far stronger. Unlike the bond of grace, the bond of blood can't unite us forever. For even relatives of the flesh and blood may prove eternally separated from the family of God on the last day. But the bond of grace and love that unites us together today shall stand forever. It's a brotherhood that has no end. And furthermore, this is a new command, and that is given because of new necessities have arisen. For we are all under one King, the God Almighty. We are all subjects living in his kingdom. But so is it true that the church on earth is often called the church militant. The church on earth is called to a spiritual warfare in which we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the full armor of God. This is a new command given to the family of Christ, given to the church militant, that we should be, as it were, a band of brothers and sisters. For the church lives in the midst of a vast multitude of enemies. Behold, Jesus says, I send you out as sheep among wolves. They will ridicule, slander, call you fools, and take advantage of you. So cling all the more closely to one another. If you were of the world, they would have loved their own. But so it is that you are of the Spirit. If the world of flesh and blood that is here today and gone tomorrow shall love its own and be united in common cause, how much more shall the Spirit of everlasting life bring us who are in Christ together? The Spirit calls us to love one another as Christ has loved us. Love all people, Paul says, but especially those of the household of faith. There are so many ways by which this commandment given by Christ is new. And if we had more time, I would love to expand upon this newness of this commandment even further. For it is new in that it has new results, saying that all the world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's new in its characteristics, for in every Christian there is in them something for which we can fully love and cherish them for. And it's a new commandment in that it is but a foretaste of the blessed union that is still to come in paradise. Dear friends, the new command that God gives his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed, he continues to give us today. He didn't give the command and then leave us to figure it out on our own. But rather, he gave it, then he exemplified and fulfilled it, and then he continues to fulfill it today. For Christ gave himself up and shed his blood on the cross so that in him we may be brought together. Brought together as one people under him. Brought together in the fellowship of the altar as we commune with one another. For communion is not just an individual act of us between our Lord, but we also commune together upon the blood and body of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And blessed communion it is. And blessed be God who calls a people to himself from all walks of life, from all ethnicities, ages, social statuses. We all come together, for he has brought us into the one holy Christian church in which he daily and richly forgives us our sins. He washes our feet daily, meaning that we, one day, are called from this life to the next. We shall arrive there without spot, without wrinkle, nor with anything upon our feet. Our head, hand, foot, or all of us shall be fully cleaned and redeemed in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Gracious Lord, as you gathered your disciples in the upper room, so do you continue to gather us to hear your word and to sing our praise. We pray that you would come to us this evening with your Spirit of life and power. Grant us faith to love and trust in you. Give us assurance that in you we are redeemed, in you we are loved and protected by your mighty and serving hands. We ask that you would keep us firm in this faith, that we may find comfort and peace in this life. While struggles and trials befall us, we ask that you would lead us to trust in your promises, in your will, and in your life-giving name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And loving God, as you came to this world to serve mankind, you served and loved us to the end. And you will continue to serve and love us also into eternity. As we journey throughout life, lead us in faith to know that in mercy you have washed us clean, and you continue to stoop down to wash us daily. Lead us to repent of sin and to walk in righteousness. May we follow in the example of Christ to love our neighbors as you have loved us, and teach us to be generous with our time, resources, and other gifts that you have given us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all compassion, with a new command, you have sent us into the world to love our fellow brothers and sisters. Lead us to fulfill what Paul commands to love all people, but especially those of the household of faith. Bring your church together in all joy and peace. Break down all that separates us, that we may love one another as you have loved us. Bring us into communion, that we should share all things with those among us who are in need. We ask that you may open our hearts and eyes to see the ways in which we can best serve your children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we pray that you would continue to grant life, strength, and well-being to your people. As is pleasing to your holy will, sustain your people and all the people of the world in both body and soul. For those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, we pray that they can find comfort in your gospel truth. For those who are feeling alone, we pray that you would bring them closer to you and with the opportunity to talk and have fellowship with others. For people who are feeling sick, hurting, or recovering from other ailments of life, we lift them to your loving care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, God of life, we pray that you would continue to lead your church and pastors to be proclaimers of your truth. Guide all of your children, all of your servants, to be faithful in word and deed. Use your church to be a beacon of light as mouthpieces to share your gospel. May all of us lead each of us to participate and to be used as instruments to bring your blessings to the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our service continues with the service of the sacrament in the bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, laud, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Would you please stand as you're able? May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and depart with his peace and with his joy. Amen. The salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the stripping of the altar. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And I cry by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who seek me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affection of the afflicted. And he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship before him, shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Prosperity shall serve him, and shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it.